Today, I think I want to speak and start off first with Devin's most incredible fear, and I appreciate you being open about this, Devin.
Of course.
Your fear of being eaten by cannibals, a fear that was restoked recently when Biden talked about his uncle, I think, who may have been eaten by cannibals in one of his rambling stories. But we'll get to that in a moment. But listen, I'm really sorry that you had to do this. I mean, you can't stop the news sometimes, and you can't prevent your kids or your colleagues apparently from watching disturbing news. And yeah. And that was just one item that really it really affected you, didn't it?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I'm really. Anyway, today our theme, speaking about dying somehow. But you know what? You'll see how maybe these two things can work hand in hand. Here it is, the new suicide euthanasia cult, right?
Yeah.
So, and it seems to be growing. That's the weird thing about this mentality that it's okay to kill yourself, right? I mean, we talked, you know, maybe a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this idea where people, it'll be a new thing where people will say, you know, maybe, have you thought about killing yourself? Right, that would be words that you would never utter out of your mouth. If somebody were to talk about, a friend of yours is really depressed. I don't know. I'll never find a boyfriend. I'll never find a girlfriend. I'll never, get a job. Look at me. I don't have any kids, and my friend Sally has kids, and I'm not pretty enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not successful enough. All those things, and then you find yourself. Well, in the old days, you would say, oh, Charlie, you're okay. Don't worry about it. You just gotta, strike a right balance and maybe exercise a little bit more. Get yourself out there, right? Now people will say, "Have you thought about killing yourself?"
Yeah, less liability for the state. Yeah.
Exactly.
You have socialized
healthcare. Let's save some money. I thought about killing you. That's gonna be in the, what's the word? The quiver, yeah. Of ways to approach a conversation with somebody who's down on his life, and maybe is suffering depression. That's the thing. Kill yourself.
Yeah,
it's an option.
Yeah, No consequences.
Absolutely. This is where I thought it might dovetail nicely with the cannibalism thing. Do you see where I'm going with this? Do you?
Yes.
Do you?
No.
Okay.
Let's see.
The Soylent Green a little bit here, where, the guy kills himself, and then the cannibals, they don't have to kill you. You've already killed yourself, and you are prêt-à-manger.
Oh. So it's
ready
a
to eat.
Proposal. Yeah.
It's a win-win. The cannibal wins, and the...
Why not?
So in the old days also, when you say... You can have an option, right? In the old days, I wish to be buried, or I wish to be cremated,
right.
Or I wish to be eaten. Who knows? And you're seeing people like Peter Singer from, I think he's from Princeton, making arguments that, what's wrong with eating human flesh? It might serve a lot of good purposes. This is the atheist mentality. There's no way this guy's not an atheist, right?
Right.
So... It's such a bizarre thing to say. So, but go back to euthanasia now. Oh. All joking aside, although I don't think there will be much of a joke because, to the extent that there's hunger in the world and all this stuff, rather than killing those poor animals, we can just suicide ourselves and then make ourselves available as meat for some, worthy cannibals. If only Uncle Joe were around. His uncle, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a new cult. And I say cult because there's this fad. Maybe I should say it's a fad. There's this new, thrill of an idea that one should be able to kill themselves. And that's great. You see it in Holland. I know it's happening in Belgium. Canada, I think, is opening up its doors for that, right?
Yeah.
And what's interesting about this, it's not only, Devin, that the government sees you as no longer valuable and has its reasons why it's opening up the doors to let you kill yourself, right?
Right.
It's that you no longer see yourself as valuable. Right. You are not worthy of living. Your life is not precious, and you see it. And this is an education, an indoctrination that has been happening for decades now, where they're basically telling people that we're just blips on the planet, we're accidents of creation, our lives don't really matter that much. While at the same time, they claim that every life is precious. They pay lip service to that, right?
Right.
The death penalty is a great example of that.
Yeah.
They will somehow, they'll fight to the death to, as it were, to prevent somebody from dying on death row, but abortion, no problem, right? Suicide, no problem.
Or right? Meat, no beef, no chicken, human flesh is good.
Yeah, that's right, human flesh is good.
Yeah.
So these are the things that, they actually keep me up at night, I gotta tell you. As if the cannibals are not enough to keep me up at night, wondering that there might be a cannibal underneath my bed. But seriously, it's that's what they've managed to do. They've managed to tell people, yeah, kill yourself. Your life is not worth living.
Right.
And that is a new dynamic, a new approach to the human character that I think is really unique.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the funny thing is that the people who want to have the less population, the people who are encouraging, like Trudeau is encouraging this in Canada, but Trudeau's not killing himself?
Yeah.
You actually mean Singh's not killing himself? Yeah. Like all these people, like Michelle Carter, she was the one in like Rhode Island or something who was like to her boyfriend, texted him, yeah, you should kill yourself if you're depressed, whatever, I don't care. And then he does, and she's held up for murder.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah. And, but then they don't want us to eat beef, they don't want us to eat chicken, they don't want us to eat pig, but then they want us to eat human flesh. But I assure you, they're having steak every night.
Yeah. Wow, what a great point. What a great point. I'm just very disturbed by this new culture that you're going to see it more and more. Trends do develop, just like the transgender thing develops, right? It seemed to come out of nowhere, but there were inklings of it for quite a while. Nobody's better than anybody else. That's the culture that it leads to. There's no such thing as mental illness. The dysphoria that these transgender folk have, to the extent that they're not, riding on the cultural wave, those with true dysphoria, and they've got a mental illness. There's nothing short of that. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
So I feel sorry for them. But at the end of the day, you're going to see these new trends. People, the left is always looking for a new trend. It's even if, okay, to my point, the transgender thing. Let's say the liberals got everything they wanted on that issue, and the gay marriage thing is already there. They got gay marriage, and now they want to talk about transgenders, right? And somehow everyone has to agree to identify his or her pronouns, they, je, all the things. Every boy can come in with a dress, and so on. Everything. And there's no such thing as really women's sports or men's sports. Everyone could just go with whatever they want.
Right.
And it's a world of Aquarius. The moon is in the seventh house. Everyone is happy with what's going on, right? It would not end there.
No.
There's no ending with the left. They would look, okay, they look over the horizon to see what else can we mess up in our society.
Right.
And I put it to you that that euthanasia, this suicide culture, is going to be the next thing.
Yeah.
And they're going to suggest cannibalism.
Yeah.
That bestiality will be okay. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
And incest will be totally fine as well.
Yeah.
And I talk about the incest part of it in my book, Rise of the Sex Machines. I go at length about that as to why it is inevitable that incest is going to be that people will be pushing for incest.
Right.
And it's weird. They will be at, right now we're looking at pedophilia as they're trying to normalize pedophilia. That's horrible. right? It's horrible. I think it's worse than incest in many circumstances.
100%, yeah.
Well, incest in terms of a father molesting his daughter, of course, that, you know, that's the ultimate, that's pedophilia combined with incest. But I'm just talking about incest in the sense of, you know, two consenting adults who discover, let's say, that they're brother and sister, full-blown brother and sister. There are circumstances like that. Where they didn't realize that they were fostered, you know, separately, and then they somehow had an attraction to each other, whatever. Or they just had a thing for each other throughout their lives. Or maybe a half-brother, half-sister.
Yeah.
That happens too. And what if they choose not to have kids at all? It's weird, you know, and then you still have a sense like, that's wrong.
Yeah.
It's not about the abnormalities of the children that might result from that union. Because what if he's 50 and she's 48 and she no longer can have kids? Or she had her tubes tied.
Right.
Right? No kids from there, right? Yeah. So you'd say, okay, well, I've just taken out the abnormality factor, argument. So, and they love each other. They're two consenting adults. They only started going out with each other when they were 40 and 42, let's say.
Right.
What's your problem, mister?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
People will be fighting for that. And they'll try to normalize that. Then the cannibalism thing I just told you about, they're going to also try to normalize bestiality.
Right.
There's a story of this woman, and this story is in my new book, Atheism Steals, about this woman. You may have heard of it. She had two dogs, two male dogs.
Oh, no. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going there. And she bragged about how she let the dogs have their way with her. And isn't this sweet? I mean, they're getting satisfaction, to use a polite phrase. And she enjoys it too. And so what's the problem? And you could say, I mean, from her standpoint, she was shocked when she was arrested. She was actually arrested because of the she posted things on social media because she thought there was no big deal. Isn't she just being sweet?
Right.
To these dogs, giving them, you know, allowing them to have a sexual release, and she was having a good time herself. Goes to jail, okay. And I see you nodding approvingly.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be, and I believe that too.
Right.
But from the atheist perspective, what's wrong with that?
Exactly.
I mean, you can say that the dogs are abused if it was a man. Having sex with female dogs,
right?
Because the female dogs, you know, they're passive, right? They don't know what to do, and the man is acting upon them, right? So he's the active, and she's the dogs are the passive. So you could say that's animal abuse, but not the reverse necessarily, right?
Right.
The dogs, the male dogs, are doing their thing, and presumably they wouldn't do it if they didn't want to,
right?
Right? They're not being forced.
Yeah.
All right, so that's, you know, in the same way that it's rare to claim that a woman is raping a man unless it's statutory.
Right.
Right. So it's a very disturbing conversation, right? It's not pleasant at all.
Yeah.
But from the atheist standpoint, what's wrong with that?
Right.
I mean, the dogs are happy, for sure. She's happy, apparently. What's wrong with it? That they're not going to have kids associated with it. There's no discussion of abnormality associated with that, and other than the actual act itself. But in terms of kids or offspring, it's not going to happen. So what's the problem?
Right.
Everyone's happy. Two consenting living beings. Let's put it that way. What's wrong with that? Folks, I know this is a disturbing talk, but people will say that's okay. And look, there's all this love of dogs and pets, and people are talking about marrying their pets. Well, if you marry your pet, doesn't that evoke the idea of maybe having sex with that pet?
Right.
Right, because that's intimacy.
Right.
And you love your dog, and people are saying, I love my dog more than I love people. So why shouldn't you be allowed to go the extra step? Right?
Yeah. Oh, God.
So that's going to be a thing. I'm telling you, these are things that are on the horizon because they can be on the horizon.
Right.
Because it's a taboo right today, and taboo for good reason, by the way, which I, of course, get into in the books. But anything that can be shattered, that's what they want to shatter.
Right.
And that's the thing when they've completely taken away the glory of God, the majesty of God, and the reign of God, they also take away human dignity. And every single one of these things, eating somebody's flesh, being with your kin, being with a child, being with an animal, take away your dignity. You're not happy in talking to your grandmother and saying, you know what? I ate another human being today. I copulated with an animal today. That's not something you would want to do or say to your, if your grandma was in any way moral, and actually be happy about that. And they consistently want to do that because without the glory of God, then we don't have that dignity, I think, is what you're saying.
Devin, I really like that. I think that is a fantastic observation. It's the attempt to this to destroy the distinction between humans and animals and yes. male and female.
Yes.
These are two very big distinctions that are critical in the Bible. And if you could get yourself to destroy that distinction, either one of those distinctions, you're not conflating, you're flouting the Bible yeah. by your actions. And this is what the left really wants you to do. They want you to take actions that are inconsistent with the Bible. They want you to lie, for example, and refer to a dude who claims to be a woman. They want you to refer to that person as a she because he wants to be called a she. So you must do it. You have to participate in his lie. But yeah. but that's a violation of one of the Ten Commandments.
Yes,
you can't do that. So they want you to do that so that you slowly break down your own Christianity, your own Judaism, your own belief in God. And then you find yourself doing these absurd things and agreeing to certain absurd things. It's like, this is what cults do, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of cults, they will get you to release all your wealth to them. That's one thing. That's the most innocent part of it. But they'll also get you to do things that you find that are completely detestable to you. Like, for example, if you're straight, having a homosexual encounter with another man. And all of a sudden you're doing this thing and then your brain has to, there's a cognitive dissonance that comes into play. And that's what the left is doing now. They're trying to impose this cognitive dissonance upon society because we're all doing it. We're all calling he a she, for example. We're all having premarital sex, right. for example. That's very common. We're all wearing these leggings that are, you know, the women at least, that are completely inappropriate to wear.
Yeah,
We're all, you know, talking about gay marriage and now all of a sudden calling marriage, a gay union, something that can be a marriage as though it's the same thing as men and women. So we're saying these words. He's a husband to another husband. There are two husbands.
Right.
A man saying my husband. It just jars in the cognitive dissonance department. And that's where they get you. That's what they're doing. They're not winning by argument. They're winning by behavioralism.
Yeah.
By making you do it.
Right.
And say it. And criminalizing you if you don't.
Right.
So the strong Christians, the strong Jews, are the ones that say, you know what, F you. I'm not going to do it.
Yep.
And that's what we all need to do. Everyone's got to fight this. Anyway, I'm proud of both of us, you know, how we fought the COVID restrictions, the vaccine, of course.
Oh,
I've never once called a man who wants to be called a woman, I've never once said that. I won't do it. I'm sorry. You know what? I'm not sorry. You're crazy. How about that?
Yeah.
You're just crazy if you think you're a woman.
Yeah.
You need help. You have my sympathy. You have my pity. But you ain't got... I'm not going to join you in your delusion.
Right. And there's a meme on Twitter and the internet where it's like, I'm not misgendering you. You're misgendering yourself. Not mine, but
it's very true.
Yeah.
Well, look, what I do say about it is they want us to accept them, but they can't accept themselves.
Right. Exactly.
And that is the first order of business. You know, dude, you got to accept it. You got a penis. You're a dude. Okay, I'm sorry. You may not like it. You can do with it whatever you want. Okay, but you'll never be a woman. I'm sorry. Maybe in another life,
yeah.
like that movie. What was it? I forget the movie. It was a cool movie, actually. It was Dead Again. Dead Again. With the two great actors. I forget what they are. But anyway, he's the man in the previous life, and he comes back, and he's the woman.
Oh, wow.
In that relationship. So they've switched bodies, in a sense, our personalities, but they're from different times.
Right.
It's not a transgender movie. It's not like that at all. It just, you know, why should your soul only go to another male soul, right?
Right.
If you believe in reincarnation, and again, I'm not saying that reincarnation is real. I don't know. I believe, actually, that your soul does get transferred to another body, or you become one with God, and, you know, I'd like to think the latter. But whatever it is, you know, why would it be that you would only go to, you know, soul after soul after soul, only in the male department or female department, right? You would think that wouldn't matter.
Right.
Anyway, I digress. Point is that they want to accept this, and they're trying to get us to accept this notion, and it's just not going to fly. But they will start getting us to talk about euthanasia and suiciding as a real opportunity, and they'll be telling therapists in the near future, Devin, mark my words, that therapists are to propose the possibility of suicide as an answer to problems.
And you are so right, though, with you. They get you to do something that's wrong, and then so they have you. What did they do? They got doctors to force patients, or really coerce them, to take an experimental drug without their informed consent, which is against the Nuremberg Code. So now they got them. They are doing something wrong. They have their soul. And if they don't believe that there is some kind of, like, confession or some way to get out of that horrible sin that they have, now they're like, okay, since you did that, why not just recommend suicide?
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, I think we need to move on to some other topics, though, and there's plenty to talk about. Well, as you know, there is the trial has now been impaneled. The jury has now been impaneled in the New York case against Trump, and people call it the hush money case. I don't call it that. This is the case where he's just being railroaded. That's how about that?
Yeah.
Where they're trying to force a campaign finance law violation. It's all so absurd. I don't need to explain it. There are statute of limitations problems, big, big problems.
Yeah.
There are actual legal problems in terms of, like, it's a state campaign finance law shoehorning from a federal finance law somehow. It's just this gross distortion of reality. Then you've got the judge, who is clearly biased, at least his wife is. I can't imagine that he could really be fair. I was just on Newsmax right now, and I said, if they were to ask a juror the same questions about any ties that they might have to the Biden campaign and what they think about that, and a juror said, well, you know, my wife works for the Biden campaign, contributed to the Biden campaign, and stands to gain, you know, $800,000 from consulting for the Biden campaign and the Democrat Party at large, they'd say, well, thank you very much, juror number 41. You are excused. Thank you for your time and service. That's what they would do. They would be bounced for cause in a second.
Can't they do that with judges, though?
Well, that's my point, is that the judge himself is more biased than that.
Right? Yeah.
And yes, to answer your question, they did move to recuse him, but which means to get him off the judge as judge in this case, and that failed because it goes directly to him, and he refuses to do that. Well, what are you so afraid of? If you want justice to prevail, you don't want any appearance of impropriety or bias, then go to the next judge. And, you know, you want him to, but all his actions are inconsistent with somebody who's impartial.
Right.
The biggest one, the latest one, is that he is requiring Trump to be at trial every freaking day of this trial. Why? It's not as if he's in jail now. He doesn't need to be on bond or anything like that, right?
Right.
So, and it's a misdemeanor crime. It's not a felony crime, although they want to make it one.
Yeah.
So Why would they need him there? In fact, if Trump is not there and he's at the on the campaign trail, for example, that would be to Trump's detriment, not to the state's detriment.
Right.
Right. Because when the jury sees that the defendant is not even at his own trial, it shows that he doesn't care. And people can unilaterally say crazy things about him, and he's not there to talk to his lawyers and say, I never said that. That's ridiculous.
Right.
So it would be better for the state to allow Trump to go campaign. But the reason why they don't want him to do it is precisely that. They don't want him to campaign.
Yeah.
They're just trying to lock him up time-wise.
Right.
9 to 5, 5 days a week. It's crazy.
It is.
So he's locked up in New York, as it were. But, you know, maybe he's taking a page from the Biden basement campaign. You know, who knows, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what we're seeing here. It is Trump is 100% right that this is a travesty of justice. This is truly a political witch hunt. He's right, and that's what he's doing every single day, and that's what he should be doing. In the meantime, what's very funny is that he went to Harlem recently. Did you see this?
Yes.
And impromptu, wasn't planned at all. Nobody told him anything. He just walks into the streets of Harlem, obviously with security, as they should have it. But they just swarm him. They love him.
Yeah.
These are regular neighborhood folk, some white, some black, whatever. And they just smile. They love him. Meanwhile, Biden goes to, I think it was an ice cream shop. Did you see this?
Yeah.
And he nobody wants to serve him. Nobody's interested in talking to him. They don't say, Mr. President, oh, this is so great. Can I take a photo op? Nobody likes him.
No.
But they'll have you believe that there's a 50-50 shot. This is a really close election, Devin.
Yeah.
Don't you know?
Yeah.
I know that polls get tighter as you get closer to the election. I understand that. I think, I don't see that here.
No.
I see that Biden will just look more like a doofus as he goes forward. And as people get closer and closer to the election and they really start to actually think about checking off the box for Biden, they'll say, wait, do I really want to do this? You know, I mean, they could stay home. They don't have to vote. They don't have to check the box off for Trump.
Right.
They could check the box off for RFK or for Jill Stein. Is that her name?
West and
West, right.
Yeah.
So they can check off that box because they just... No, not Biden. Sorry. Or just stay the freak home.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's what's going to happen. People will just stay home. And those factors, Jill Stein and Cornel West and RFK Jr., that's a big muscle ball for the Biden campaign. All of those are going to draw votes away from Biden. And that's a good thing for the Trump team.
Yeah, and I don't even, like, do you even think he's going to debate? Because last time's like, oh, Trump lies, and it's like, well, he lied about his uncle dying of cannibalism, so it's like he lies too. Like,
yeah. Well, it'll be a very embarrassing debate. I mean, look, the expectations will be high on Trump and very low for Biden,
right?
And they just want Biden to survive. That's it.
So,
yeah, Devin just did a fist pump in the air. Complete sentence. Yeah, that's good. That's good, right, guys? Right. But Trump will take him to task and say, look, he's just not competent to handle this. You want another 4 years? The past 4 years weren't bad enough for you, and you want another 4 years of this? While his dementia is not getting better, folks. It's crazy.
And the most crazy thing is, like, okay, incompetent, fine. We had Jimmy Carter. You know, corrupt, okay, but like Obama, like Clinton, they were corrupt, but they were not incompetent. Biden is incompetent and corrupt and has dementia. It's like you got to kind of choose one. And he's really put himself in the corner of, I'm going to put my political opponent in prison. So he's got the corruption thing down. So you got to be kind of competent and keep gas prices low, keep inflation down.
Yep. All right. Because you asked for the cannibalism comment, I've got it for you right here. Okay.
And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. They got shot down in New Guinea, and they never found the body because there used to be a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
So how is this? I mean, this is just a rambling Joe thing. he's talking about this random story, cannibals. How does this relate to his campaign? How does this relate to why you should vote for Joe Biden? I don't understand that. What's the point, right? And you see, there's this one woman. She's kind of putting her hand to her head, like, I can't believe
and
this is happening.
She's like young. She's 30. Like,
yeah, and all these people are holding up signs. They're all white, by the way. You know, you would think they would have some blacks and other minorities. Mm. But, you know, in fairness, it's only five, so statistically it may not be significant, but whatever. But it's like, so as he's going through this cannibalism story, none of these people, they don't know what to do with it. Like, are you supposed to smile? Oh, your uncle was eaten by cannibals. That was awesome. I'm so glad to hear that. Like, they don't know where he's going, and he's just they feel like idiots with the, you know, holding their you know what's in their hands.
Right.
What do you do with that? Yeah. I'm embarrassed for them, and of course for Biden, he doesn't know what he's saying. There's no relationship to anything.
Yeah, and that's the thing where it's like Obama, everything was canned and pre-planned and rehearsed and everything, but Clinton. That guy would lie about everything, but he would connect with the audience. Yeah. He would make everybody, like Republican and Democrat, on his side because he was a good speaker and he would relate to them. Biden can't do that because everyone's saying, like, okay, I can't afford food now. Yeah. Gas is like, I have to actually think about, can I actually afford gas to go to my job? Like, everything is so hard and he can't talk about that.
Yeah. So here's a little clip that goes to this point about people are now, like, Bill Maher understands why people are inclined to vote for Trump.
Yeah.
Because it's just too crazy for them. They can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And they're out of touch with the realities of the day. So take a listen to this.
And he put out an article last year, and it was called Separating Sports by Sex Doesn't Make Sense.
Right.
And talked about how we separate sports like the WNBA just because it's just socialization. This is insane.
I agree.
Okay. That's why people vote for Trump. Because there's stuff like that on the left that people just go, I know Trump's horrible, but separating sports by sex makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. And if you think it doesn't, you can't leave the country.
But that's cutting off your nose to spite your face.
That's Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy fame.
Oh, my
okay?
God, yeah.
All right? And he's very liberal.
Yeah.
So he's saying that's cutting off your nose to spite your face. Let's continue.
Okay, I'm just giving you the answer to the question you're asking all night long. Why do they vote for Donald Trump? It's not always because they like him.
No,
it's because stuff like that is kookier to them.
It may have.
Yep, that's exactly right. That's what it's all about. It's kookier. The sense that things are, you know, going off the rails is becoming a real thing now. And again, as you get closer and closer to November, that glorious day where you're actually going to have to perform, right, and check off the box one way or the other, I think people really have a come to Jesus moment. Do I really want this guy for the next 4 years? I think not. I think a lot of people have already switched to Trump anyway. We know that the black vote, especially the black male vote, is very staunchly in favor of Trump, much more so at least. And the black overall vote has gone to 20 or 21%, which is a huge percentage.
That's the election. Right?
That's the election.
Yeah.
The Latino vote is majority for Trump now.
Really?
And not just Cubans, by the way. Cubans are always, you know, staunchly conservative.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, no, it's true that the Latino vote is now, you know, majority conservative. And these are big muscle balls that the Democrat Party doesn't want you to hear, but it's there. I mean, I'm not inventing this. These are serious polls. And then you've got the problem of the battleground states. All of them are, with the exception of Wisconsin, so they would have you believe, are in favor of Trump. And they have to admit it. So when the liberal media has to admit that Trump is leading in any number at all, 1%, which is, you know, well within the margin of error, you know they're lying.
Right.
Right? You know that they're telling you the story because the number is actually higher.
Yeah.
Much higher, probably. And they've distorted and contorted the numbers in such a way when they get rid of these people or they get that people, like, I don't know, like, if you get rid of, because it can't possibly be right that black males like Trump. So let's get rid of them as a demographic. And if you do that, well, then Trump is only ahead by 1%,
right.
Not 15%.
Yeah.
So Wisconsin, I think he's ahead in all the black, the battleground states.
How, oh, yeah.
What do you think about that?
Oh, 100%.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
I think so too. And they're just trying to avoid the embarrassment. What if they actually reveal, let's say, just for the sake of discussion right now, that Trump was ahead by 8 points, 9 points, 10 points in each of the battleground states.
Right.
They would have to admit they're going to get slaughtered.
Yeah.
We're in big trouble. We're in big trouble. We're in big trouble. They can't do that. Right. They have to pretend as if it's a real even Steven fight. It's a little bit like boxers in a ring, right?
Yeah.
Where, you know, you got this scrawny little guy, and he's facing somebody, you know, the likes of Mike Tyson in his day, a super scrawny guy. Okay, and they could huff and puff all they want in the the press conferences, right? I'm going to take you on, Tyson. And Tyson will look at him and say, "Really, little boy? I mean that." But you can believe, you can lie to yourself that this is going to be an even match.
Right.
But then the actual boxing match happens, and then Tyson slaughters the guy. Surprise.
Yeah.
It can't be so many different narratives all at once that Trump will just eke a win, or that he might possibly have a total landslide. It can't be that way. Or that Biden might eke a win, or that Biden might have a landslide. It cannot be all four in the range. Right. It's either going to be that Trump wins by a landslide or by a lot.
Right.
I would say, there's two questions we have. Trump wins by a landslide, or the voting stops and suddenly a lot of new votes come in. Because we've seen this before. No one stopped him. No one went to prison. It's going to keep on happening. And be like, L.A. will take a month or two or California be like, we don't know who won yet. We don't know who won. That means he actually won. Mm. And that's where we need to have some honest officials who say, hey, guys, why don't we just do it straight down the middle and be right and do the truth this time?
Yeah. You can't handle the truth. That's why.
They can't handle
it. All right. So I want to take you to this. You may not have noticed, but okay, so a very big story was that Iran this past weekend attacked Israel with drones and ballistic missiles. It really quite the chutzpah of Iran to do this. There are many interpretations of what happened. They must have known that some degree of the 300 missiles that they lobbed at Israel would be taken down. So maybe that's what they were gunning for. Like they knew that. Like 80% were going to be hit, and taken down. But all they needed was 20%. So what 20% of 300 would be, 60 missiles, right?
Right.
So that's a lot of missiles, right? That's good math right there.
I was like, wow.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I did go to college.
Yeah.
So that the 60 missiles land and create a tremendous amount of havoc. Maybe that's what they hoped to do, but they didn't count on Israel basically getting rid of all of them, except for those that they knew were going to land in the desert and wouldn't really hurt anybody. As it turns out, it did hurt this one 11-year-old girl. She's going to be okay, apparently, but still, But you can't say that's not an act of war. The fact that your bulletproof vest stopped the bullet from killing you, and you're alive, and you're able to function the next day. You can't say, well, then no counties. It wasn't attempted murder.
Right.
You can't. No. You tried to kill somebody. It was because he had the good sense to wear a bulletproof vest that he's alive today.
Right.
And that the only distinction is you'd be criminalized for attempted murder versus murder, but very, very often they're very similar sentences. So you've got Iran, I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking. They're thinking that maybe, we just want to provoke Israel. Maybe that's the other theory. We know that all of our missiles will be shot down, but, we just want to provoke Israel. We want a larger region war. Now, I think that is part of the analysis that Iran did. I don't think they're cowering at all. I think they understood that they've awoken us, not even a sleeping giant. They've poked the tiger.
Yeah.
And the tiger is going to react, and the tiger should react. Now, a lot of my friends are saying, gosh, Israel should exercise restraint. They should do nothing if they want to have good world opinion of Israel. To them, I say, you're crazy.
Yeah.
First of all, the world doesn't think highly of Israel at all. Anyway, they call Israel a pariah. They call them genocidal, apartheid, and all that. You really think that somehow now all these Palestinian protesters in America and elsewhere are going to say, you know what? I used to think that they were genocidal, but I may have been wrong about these guys. They did not retaliate against Iran, and I got to tell you that restraint really changed my mind. That's not going to happen.
Right.
It of course it won't happen. You're an idiot if you think that happens. I mean, Israel has done so many things unilaterally. We talked about this before. They pulled out of Gaza. They pulled out of southern Lebanon. They pulled out of major towns in the West Bank. They gave a lot more autonomy to the West Bank. They pulled out of the Sinai in exchange for peace with Egypt. They did a lot of these things. They gave control of the Temple Mount to the Arabs in Jerusalem. Complete sovereignty of that when they didn't have to. Do you think any of that gave them any credibility or any, you made them look better in the eyes of the world? No, right. Of course not. And you think somehow by restraining themselves from attacking Iran now in retaliation for what they did, somehow that's going to inure to the benefit of Israel?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Right.
You are hopelessly naive if you do that. Now, and here's why they should do it. They should do the retaliation thing, because that's the only thing that Iran understands.
Right.
Much of the Muslim / Arab world, and they are two different things, I get that, they understand power.
Right.
And if you poke somebody and you don't respond, they take it as a sign of weakness on your part. That's the way it is.
Right.
Israel has to respond.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one thing, too, where it's like there is a difference between Saudi Arabia and Egypt. And, like, I'm sorry, the Iranians, they're not dumb. They did this for a reason, and they must have known, okay, the Iron Dome will be able to stop it. So are they testing the Iron Dome? Are they testing the resilience of Israel? Because, like, there, you don't go around throwing, like, a bunch of rotten eggs at cops completely naked and think, like, if you're a smart person, there's got to be a reason beyond that. And that's what scares me, is this was a start of something or a test of something, or so we don't look at something else. But Israel has to respond and has to be strong, exactly like you said, because they have to know if we do anything, it's going to come back to us.
Well, what's interesting about this, and everyone's talked about this already, so I'll just say it really quickly, is that it's the first time that Iran has actually launched a kinetic war directly with Israel, really? As opposed through its proxies, Hezbollah and Hamas and otherwise. So that's interesting. The second interesting thing about it is that it's the first time in history in the Middle East that the Jordanians, an Arab country, and Saudi Arabia, an Arab country, helped Israel.
Really?
In a war against a Muslim nation.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, no, think about it. Jordan helped. It actually shot down some of the missiles from Jordan.
Wow.
And Saudi Arabia was very instrumental in helping the Israelis get information about the missiles and the location. So this is good news for Israel. And good news, I think, for the whole Middle East, generally speaking. And talk about behavioralism. Now Saudi Arabia has actually engaged in an act of kindness with Israel.
Yeah.
So now they've talked about cognitive dissonance. They're supposed to hate Israel, but now they've been helping Israel. Well, now that you've done it once, you might as well do it again.
Right.
There might as well have a peace treaty with them because, you know, we work well together, don't we?
And the other side's going to hold a grudge.
Yeah, so. That's right. So why not do it?
Yeah.
But speaking about retaliation, and being responsive and stuff like that. What's happening in the protests all over the country, you saw that, you know, that there was the blocking of the Golden Gate Bridge. There was the blocking, I think, of the Brooklyn Bridge, and a lot of other blocking of buildings, this and that, all throughout the country on Monday, I believe it was. And it was all coordinated, right? I mean, I'll give them that. They were organized. But they wanted to create a mess, and I think they did it timing-wise, in connection with the Iranian attack on Israel, so that the news media would focus on the Gaza situation, so that they would take away any sort of sympathy that there might otherwise engender for Israel because of the Iranian attack. And let's get back to Gaza. Gaza, Gaza, Gaza.
Right.
Okay? That's what happened. And there's no pushback, or very little pushback. I mean, today, thankfully, Columbia University, where there's been a lot of pro-Palestinian protests, they arrested a lot of people and said, this is enough.
Yeah.
It might be too little too late, but there's been very little pushback. There's a sense among younger people on campuses and elsewhere that they can say a whole bunch of crap about Israel. They can They can blockade things. They can take over buildings. They can disrupt classes or whatever. And there won't be any pushback. Yeah. Watch what happens in this meeting in Bakersfield with this young woman, a protester, who doesn't like the fact that Bakersfield will likely not issue a call for a ceasefire in Gaza.
Wait, okay? Bakersfield is not going to take an international position.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she wants it. This woman, she's from India apparently, but she's, you know, she's American too. Here you go.
There, my name is Riddhi Patel. I'm here to speak in support of the City Council introducing a ceasefire resolution, specifically the one United Liberation Front has drafted. I don't have faith that you'll do this. You guys are all horrible human beings, and Jesus probably would have killed you himself.
Okay, so it starts off pretty well, I think. It's like, now, you think that's pretty bad, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it gets worse.
But how many people did Jesus kill? What?
Like, apparently she knows a lot about Jesus, apparently. Yeah. But apparently Jesus was a killer. You didn't know it. It's in the secret volume of the New Testament that if you act now, you can get it too.
Yeah.
But wait. there's John, Mark, Luther, and you know. But
and Muhammad.
Yeah. But there's also a secret gospel where he really goes crazy.
All right. Yeah.
Anyway, I obviously all respect to my Christian friends. Of course there's no such thing. And this woman knows nothing about Jesus. I know 1,000 times more about Christianity than she does. And I love Christianity.
Yeah.
You know, but this woman has no clue. Jesus would have killed you himself. Like, okay, thank you, Miss Theologian here.
The ending was different.
Okay. Yes, yeah. Let's continue on.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, it's very clear to me as in someone who's been an organizer for the past couple of years that none of you care because you guys don't care about anything happening in Palestine or any other country where oppression occurs because you don't care about the oppression occurring here. And I.
So that's always a nice way to start off with just attacking the people that you hope will vote for you. That's a great way. I strongly recommend this. The best way to convince people is to attack them and call them murderers and, you know, monsters. Okay. Right. That's what,
And can we make these people our Senate and House of Representatives who are giving all the money internationally, like to actually care about their citizens? These people are being accused of caring about the Bakersfield people. Why not? Like, let's do that. Instead of Ukraine, let's care about Bakersfield.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on.
I understand that you guys are all horrible people.
As if that's good that she understands. Look, you know, she's giving, look, I understand you're horrible people. Yeah. Because as if they said, you know, we are here as horrible people and we'd like to now rule on an issue of importance.
And Jesus is only going to kill the horrible people.
Yes, but
she's given one to Jesus.
But she says it like, you know, like it's a fact on the ground that you're a horrible people. Yeah. I'm going to try to let her kind of continue on with her madness.
But the thing is, 2,300 people being evicted in the last year, those are votes. And you guys, those are votes to win here in Bakersfield. And while you guys parade Gandhi around as a Hindu holiday called Chaitra Navratri starts off this week, I remind you that these holidays that we practice, that other people in the global south practice, believe in violent revolution against their oppressors. And I hope one day somebody brings the guillotine and kills all of you
So you may think that was the worst part of it, right? I said it was going to get worse, right?
Yeah.
But you'd be wrong. It's actually worse than that.
It gets worse now.
She just says, and she's walking off.
Yeah.
Okay. And the guillotine thing. And she says, mother effers, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That they actually bleeped it. And now she's walking off.
Yeah.
And she's very proud of herself. Okay. Yeah. But she comes back.
Quite smitten.
Yeah.
The increased criminalization for no need other than you don't like when people come and hold you guys accountable for introducing ceasefire resolutions, because the only escalation in violence has been by you all. And so there's no need to continue. In the last 5 years I've attended city council meetings, there's never been metal detectors. There's never been more cops. The only reason you're doing it is because people actually don't care if you guys don't like them and they're actually resisting. So you want to criminalize them. So regardless of whether you elect people into office, they'll backstab you, they'll let you die, and for that reason you guys want to criminalize us with metal detectors. We'll see you at your house. We'll murder you.
that was the bad one.
Okay. We will murder you. Okay, so the criminal behavior is not adopting a resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza, you know, from Bakersfield, California, right? The all-important Bakersfield, California, you know, missive that Israel will no doubt listen to. Not the UN, not to America, Bakersfield, right? Okay, so, but let's continue on because I want you to see what happens to this woman, okay?
Next speaker, please. Lance, followed by Kev, followed by Valeria. Ms. Patel.
This is my favorite part.
That was a threat, what you said at the end, and so the officers are going to escort you out and take care of that.
Damn straight. Yep.
Says the Southeast Asian woman who works in Bakersfield.
She was arrested, and now she's been charged.
Did she take it like a stand-up woman?
Yeah, no. She's crying. You know, she started crying. She thought that, you know, telling people that you're going to murder them is perfectly fine. There's no problem with that. What, you taking that seriously? What?
Yeah.
it's like the scene from My Cousin Vinny, right, where the character says to the judge, when the judge tells him he has to dress up more appropriately, he says, "You were serious about that?" The Joe Pesci character.
Speech, man.
You were serious about that? So, you know, she should be able to get away with it. And she's just shocked that people actually respond to that. And good for that the councilwoman to actually say what she said and to cause her to be arrested. Anyway, it'll be very interesting to see how that turns out. I mean, it's all on video. She can't deny it that she actually threatened us. We will go to your houses and we will murder you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then the guillotine comment from before that you heard.
Yeah.
She's very full of himself. But this, she is emblematic of many people who feel so righteous about this. They have the right answer. They've got this.
Right.
And they're gonna take you to task. And how dare you challenge us? We have a right to occupy your buildings. We have a right to disrupt your classes. We have a right to disrupt the Golden Gate Bridge, and so on and so on.
Yeah.
But look, with these people, you have to respond quickly.
Yeah.
You can't just accept it and let them speak their mind. And when when Biden in a speech said, when there were some pro-Palestinian protesters and they were, you know, talking Gaza this and apartheid that and genocide that, Biden said, you know, wait, let them speak. They have a point. Like, no, first of all, even if they did have a point, which they don't, they can bring their point at another time, not during your press conference. But you want to kowtow to them. I get it. You want to humor them. You want to, bow to them. I get that. But Trump would never do that. He would say, get these guys out of here. Just these schmucks out of here. That's what he would say. And they would be arrested right away.
And they should be. And, like, they don't have a point. And you can list the names and the atrocities of what was done to these people and how the very culprits uploaded it to the victim's social media so happy about it as proof that they don't have a point. The protesters who are on the side of Palestine blocking traffic, I don't want to say people should be run over. But if someone does run them over, I am not going to feel sad because you're on the side literally of the Nazis, literally of the atrocious people.
Well, I don't know. I would be supporting you on this, running over these people.
I'm not
but
saying they should.
I will say this, that, you know, I don't mind. And sometimes you see YouTube videos of this. Guys just getting out of the car. They need to get somewhere. And they just grab these people and shove them to the side.
Yeah.
And that's that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
you know, running them over is a different story.
Good. I'm not going to feel
you're not
sad.
Proud of that, right?
Yeah.
But look, I mean, this is what you have to do. You just don't just sit and wait for the police to come, and in the meantime, you know, evict them that way. There's something about self-reliance that makes a big difference and individual responsibility. This is not happening in states like Wyoming and Colorado. Well, Colorado maybe, but Idaho, Nevada, it's not happening.
Florida.
So Florida, you just can't get away with that crap.
Yeah.
And nor should you, right? All right, so probably the last story that we'll be talking about is what's happening with Alexander, what's his name? Mayorkas, the border guy. Homeland Security and all that. So he was impeached in the House, as you know. They sent the articles of impeachment to the Senate. The Senate said, not gonna do it. Okay, and Chuck Schumer, who is the majority leader, explains himself and says basically that this is all political, but listen to the hypocrisy of this.
Let's not kid ourselves about what's going on today. The impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas has nothing to do with high crimes and misdemeanors, and everything to do with helping Donald Trump on the campaign trail.
Okay. Where do we start with this one, Devin? I mean, it's crazy. You've got this guy saying that this is political. Really? You okay, and none of these... Chuck Schumer, of all people. And he's giddy with excitement about these four indictments against Trump, all of which are just garbage and totally manufactured, and the timing of everything, and, you know, we know this. It's an opposition party. That does not bother him in the least. That's not political. No. But Mayorkas, that is, somehow.
Yeah.
And then in addition, he says later on, although I don't have the audio clip, he says that it is not appropriate to seek a conviction or even an impeachment against Mayorkas for doing something that he was directed to do as part of his duties for the Biden administration. And you know what? I think a little truth slipped out there.
I 100% agree with that.
Right.
Actually. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, in other words, he was just following orders.
Right.
Right.
Which always works.
It always works. It's a very good defense. I really like that. You know, the Nazis were onto something there.
Yeah.
Schumer said that and didn't hear himself speaking, that he was actually damning the Biden administration. Everyone knows that the border is out of control. It's the number one issue now, beyond the economy. The economy is not so great either.
No.
I wouldn't run on the economy, Biden. And maybe you ought to not say the Bidenomics, because it's going to be like Hoovervilles. It's not going to be good.
No.
Okay. So Schumer's got some big worries at the end. I think the Democrat Party has big worries to deal with. They've got big problems.
Yeah.
We all have to fight. We just have to get out there. We have to be fully supportive of Trump. Even Ben Shapiro now is fully supportive of him. We have to contribute to his campaign. We have to speak about the great stuff that Trump has done and get people to understand that there is nothing that happened in Trump's presidency those 4 years that wasn't a remarkable success.
Yeah.
And the promises he's fulfilled, how he really does care about Americans of all stripes and sizes, blacks, Hispanics, whites, whatever. He doesn't think that way. He just wants the best for America, and he achieved the best for America.
Yeah.
And how none of these wars happened under his watch. Yeah. Afghanistan didn't collapse because of Trump.
Oh, God.
Right?
Yeah.
But, you know, you can rest assured that he'll somehow argue that, that all of this was because of Trump. They're trying to blame the border on Trump. They're trying to blame Russia and the Ukraine on Trump. They're trying to blame Hamas and the attack of October 7 on Trump. Everything that is now on their watch, they try to blame on Trump.
Right.
And it's getting a little obscene.
Yeah.
And I think nobody's buying it. There is a hubris going on that reminds me of the shock, utter shock of Ceausescu when he was finally grabbed. He and his wife were grabbed by the other Romanians, and they grabbed him and they decided to have a trial. It was a kangaroo trial. Let's face it. And they decided to go kill him because the conviction was that he was guilty of all these terrible war crimes and such. But Ceausescu and his wife were so shocked, so very shocked, that they were doing this to them. Hadn't they provided such wondrous love of their people and so many benefits to their people? They were shocked. It was a genuine shock that these people didn't appreciate them, having abused these people, you know, in unbelievable ways.
Yeah.
They had no idea. And I think Biden and many Democrats who support him are under that sort of fanciful imagination about the realities. It's not naivete. It's just an utter inability to see reality.
Yeah.
And when they lie to themselves about how successful Biden is and how well he's doing in the polls, that it's neck and neck and such like that, I mean, they're going to have the Ceausescu face.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
Yeah.
Not that I'm talking about a firing squad. I'm simply saying that the surprise that Ceausescu had, you're going to see it on the face of many Democrats. Biden, no, because I don't think he even is aware of what's going on. I don't even know if that he knows that he's running for president.
Or he is president.
Yeah. Or that he is president.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Well, listen, thanks so much for listening today. Please do go check out The Kids Are All Right, Keeping the Kids All Right. You'll like this book a lot. People are coming up to me all the time saying this has really changed their lives. You know that?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's changing the country. Let's get this in the bud, get the kids.
Yeah. Get the kids, keep them all right. And there's a way to do it. It's so simple. Just trust me. Hint, get ahead of all the issues. If you do that, you win. All right, folks. Brock Lurie signing off, saying God bless. And we'll talk with you next week. Carries us out.